Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Petrzelka.
And today we are talking about trends in the garden. And we don't really think about gardening as being a trendy activity or a trendy hobby, but just like everything else, there's little trends and ebb and floods of certain
things
going on, and it kind of trickles into our space in our garden. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. That Garden Design has put out their top 10 trends of this year, and we're kind of looking over this list before the show started and realized, well, that's interesting. Let's take a look at that. So we're going to start off with one of the things that people are looking at is keeping their garden low maintenance. More mess equals more time, more of a chore. So we want to make sure that we want to keep our garden a space that we want to spend time in.
Might point out that there is no such thing as a no-maintenance garden.
That's absolutely true.
Exactly. Absolutely.
People think these artificial grasses and all this is gravel yards. No. They still have maintenance that needs to be done on them.
So what's that balance that we look between low maintenance? We want to, you know, do we want to have those formal boxwood hedges and be out there clipping? Or do you want to go more of a natural scape where you can allow for some unexpected visitors, or maybe your tolerance to sputtering up plants?
Let's plant some leucophyllums and then prune them into little balls.
No, John.
Why would you put in a low maintenance plant and create a maintenance problem?
Well, because sometimes those maintenance guys need to justify their existence, and we see the pineapple shaped yuccas, the sotoles, and because you know what
they want, the overpruned palm tree
and the overpruned palm trees, exactly. And I know, yeah, it's one of those things that I know we cringe every time we drive by and we see it. I don't know. And the bad thing about that is that homeowners, our clients, start seeing that and they think that that's the, quote,
right way to do it.
And that's completely false. I mean,
I think even as gardeners, and I've said this before on the show, I was guilty of that. I really was, you know, and it goes back in some ways too, John, when you plan your garden, just like when you're buying your furniture, and you know, you've got to stop and think of the mature size of that plant. And the only way, and I planted like 10 leucophyllums when I redid my front yard. Well, they were too close to the sidewalk. And so I do have to do a certain amount of pruning so that they don't attack my visitors. And so those are things that you learn, unfortunately, you know, by bad experience sometimes.
Well, I think people see those little pruned off ball leucophyllums, mm-hmm. and they think, oh, leucophyllum's a small plant. But it's actually a 5x5 plant.
It's huge. Right.
And so you need to allow that space for it. Mm-hmm.
And if you're a tidy-heidy, I'm a tidy-heidy. I like things kind of orderly. And so that's kind of inbred in you. And you think, okay, I got to get the pruners. And you're creating an unhealthy environment for the plant. The air can't get in and all those kinds of things. And then if it does start to go, and then you're seeing all this dead growth that's in the middle of the plant. So, you know, there's all sorts of reasons to make sure that you do that.
And that's one thing that goes on with plant selection. It's if you're designing your garden, you're looking at that. Select plants that actually have a benefit. You don't want to have a tree just to have a tree that's going to drop a lot of seeds and sprout or sucker or things like that. You know, we
have an insect problem.
Insect mm-hmm. problem, exactly. One of our biggest things that we see around town is the Bradford pear. Oh my goodness. It's almost like groves of them coming up. And, you know, it's an ill-selected tree, and it's made its way to the nursery tray.
Well, you're used to here where you're getting 20, 30 inches of rainfall.
Right.
It's a little different, you know, mm-hmm. but there's still disease problems with it.
Exactly.
You know, but you see it planted on medians, and you go, oh my God, that is the worst place.
Right.
In the world for
them. To put that, yeah. exactly. Yeah. If you're looking for a fall color, look for something else. Don't even try to sell me on the fall color on Bradford tree.
Well, and I think, like you say, when we're talking about, you know, reducing the size, because I look out and I think, this yard gets bigger every year as I get older. So there are ways to, you know, you can add sensible hardscapes, create that dining area or a, you know, an outdoor kitchen. And with our environment and our climate, we have the perfect opportunity to, you know, barbecue without having to put on a park and a sheepskin coat. And, you know, and all those things are out there. And I love
watching some of those do-it-yourself shows on TV and stuff.
Sure.
And they'll have, you know, house in Florida with a nice big swimming pool in the back.
Uh-huh.
And you're thinking, oh, that's so great out there. And then you notice, what's this big screen thing that goes over the pool?
Oh,
well, that's to keep all the biting insects
right,
out.
Exactly.
So you go, yeah, that must be really a great.
Right, exactly.
So we do have some nice things here. I mean, we have some mosquito problems and
we're really
things
blessed.
Like that, but we're really have a good climate for.
Well, and that
gardening.
Article talks about a staycation.
Right.
Which is great if you know. I thought when I retired I'd be really into traveling and that I'd want to travel the world. You know, I'm really happy. Especially right now with the way things are. I don't really need to travel, but I need to have a sanctuary, a place where I can go. And we talked about that on one of the other shows that we did about, you know, de-stressing and so forth and so on. So you can do that with all sorts of these, you know, new. There's a whole lot of new outdoor furniture that's
right.
available and, you know, all yeah. sorts of things that make your yard beautiful and comfortable, but you can still incorporate the plants. And, you know, that's container gardening is wonderful in an area like that.
And talking about being in a fortunate area with the issues as far as biting insects, we're also one location where we can actually go outside in the summer, stand under a shade tree, and be cooled off.
And cool off.
You know, that humidity does not get to
exactly.
us. So let's maximize that and right. build some trees in there. I mean, I'm not saying that you just need to have the tree structure, maybe a pergola, a gazebo, some kind of, you know, addition area onto your patio, but really make that a nice little anchor spot in your space, and you can certainly soften it up, like you said, with
sure.
your container gardens around there to make it a place where you really want to stay. And, you know, it's all about, I think, that personal touch to your garden. It's a way of expressing your style, who you are, your interests. And I think I've visited lots of gardens, and you can kind of tell folks' personality as soon as you see their garden.
Sure. Well, we've talked.
It'd be boring to have every house on the street look exactly alike.
Well, yeah. You tell that
so,
to
so all your gardeners, yeah. I mean, have, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
So you build your yard to fit your needs of your family mm-hmm. or your
Yeah. Your own style.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in other communities, John, that's the one tree, the three shrubs, and the
right.
and the turf grass is going to be that recipe. And you can drive down neighborhoods and other places.
That homeowners association.
Right, exactly.
HOA.
Exactly. Right, right. We have that latitude, though. We want to be creative with mm-hmm. our front,
right.
front area.
And it does. It speaks to who you are. And it's, you know, I think when as we're talking about trends, I think back about gardening, you know, and you go, oh, you got your petunias over here, and then, you know, you got your succulents or whatever, and now we're interspersing lettuce and greens that we can go out and harvest and put on our table, and there's still a tremendous amount of aesthetic value in that, because, for instance, with the lettuce, if you plant different lettuces, they're vibrant in color, and so those kinds of things are you know, that's a trend that
yeah.
I would not have thought of 10, 15 years ago.
Yes, landscaping.
And there mm-hmm. are new plant materials that come out all the time. They have the All America selections, you know, and all kinds of bedding plants, roses,
yes.
everything that comes out. So there's a lot of them. And, of course, out here we always go, has it been tested in El Paso?
Right.
Because sometimes our heat and cold, you know, kind of make it a little bit harder on certain plants.
But we're really
But those
lucky,
are good places you know. To start is to see some. If you want something new, you know, try something new. Some of the new
yes.
bedding plants or perennials that are out and
well,
give those a try.
This time of the year, while everybody in the Midwest is shoveling snow, we're shoveling sunshine. And, you know, that's, and yes, it gets hot, and we know that in the summer and so forth and so on. But as Denise said, you know, you can always go cool off because you're not fighting the humidity along with the others. So,
as we always say, it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. And full sun in El Paso is different than full sun in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
Makes a difference. But those are the things that, you know, we hopefully can share. And
see, Denise, you had some other.
I do. I have another one. Another one is giving back with your garden. Huh. So we can kind of interpret that in a different way. Could that be maybe growing some fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. and sharing with your neighbors, you know, giving a sense of community? Or it could also be interpreted to giving back to maybe those native pollinators or those mm-hmm. beneficial insects that live in our area. So we can give them a nice little oasis for them to thrive
right.
as
right.
well.
I know a lot of your gardeners especially if they're really into vegetable gardening or fruit gardening, they usually are pretty sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got an overabundance.
Oh,
they,
my goodness.
They go, please help me. I got more squash.
I've got 150 pomegranates, yeah. And would you please come and, yeah. you know, and be happy to share you. And then I think, too, that's such a good point, Denise, about, you know, about our pollinators and, you know, create a butterfly garden. The plant Greg's Blue Mist is wonderful. Mm-hmm. It gets a little bit invasive, but it's beautiful. It's one of those plants that gives all year long until, you know, wintertime. It goes dormant, comes back with a vengeance, and the butterflies return. And droves. I'll have 25 to 30 butterflies out on my Greg's Blue Mist and my plumbago all summer long.
I mean, lantana is a great butterfly plant, too, and it's readily available. Mm-hmm. You can find it almost everywhere.
Right.
Does well. And
Turk's cap is another one for the hummingbirds.
Yeah, a lot of great plants. And, you know, you like to keep them at different levels so that you have, you know, blooms higher, lower.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're insects and can take advantage of those different levels without being eaten by some
some predator,
predator or some type, yeah, cat or something. so you like to mix it up. So there are a lot of plants here. Desert willow is a great hummingbird plant.
Yes,
people don't necessarily think of it as that, mm-hmm. but it does that. Ocotillo is another one. Those are natives that draw a lot of
and there's bedding plants too in. That you know that are. Are, you know, in that color, they're attracted to that color, and they'll come in droves and, you know, leave some water out for them and so forth and so on. And it really, you'll be surprised. And it doesn't take long. Right. You know, they're pretty smart, especially the hummingbirds come back. Yeah,
we
to
got
the same
poppies
place.
Coming up at the garden now. They're in bloom. And I think this year with our rainfall and stuff, we mm-hmm. may look for a good wildflower bloom.
Oh. My neighbors, I know, think I have weeds in my front yard, and it is covered in California reds. Mm. Well, they haven't bloomed yet. But
my contacts in the Trans-Pecos area, you know, Marfa, Alpine, in through there, that the blue bonnets are out. I mean, not in bloom, but they have rosetted, they've germinated.
Very nice.
So they're looking for a big
big season.
Big season.
Oh,
and
excellent.
So if you've ever been down there during the peak of their season, and it's not every year, you know, I went one time with Dr. McKay.
Uh-huh.
That was probably the last big peak, and mm-hmm. it was just solid blue along the highways.
Oh,
there. Just,
oh my goodness.
And these are different blue bonnets than what you see in central Texas. Mm-hmm. These are specific to the Trans-Pecos, West Texas area. They're taller, the bloom lasts longer,
mm-hmm.
but they're just gorgeous. So you might kind of want to start looking, you know, towards the end of February, first part of March, is see if...
I'm glad you said that, because I thought, gosh, these seem to have come up really early, and some of them are kind of hard to tell by looking at the leaves, you know, what the difference is between a weed, one of the weeds, and the poppies. But
right.
And that's something that's a gift that keeps on giving, because they propagate these minuscule seeds with those red poppies, and you don't have to sow them. They sow themselves, and with just the right amount of moisture, it's amazing. I have people stop me.
Now, the poppies know, you know, when they've gotten the right amount of moisture, and they'll come up, but, you know, not enough moisture, you don't have any.
You're out of luck. But they are gorgeous. One of my favorites.
Exactly. And wonderful. And one last tip before we're almost out of time. It's actually unexpected arrangements or adding a specimen to your garden. And I know that, Jan, you have a very unique feature to your garden that makes your own, your big bathtub.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Which one, Denise? I know. I bought a cast iron bathtub at
garden
a garage
art.
Sale. And yeah, yard art. That's what we call it. Had it painted. A friend of mine's an artist. She painted some hummingbirds on it because that's my favorite. And it's got columbine and alyssum bloom. You know, not the columbine's not blooming, but it's nice and green, and the alyssum's hanging over the top. And it's just, it's the perfect garden. I mean, there's drainage that's been automatic, and I've had it in my garden now for about 10 years.
Oh.
And it every year it needs to be painted again, but... You know, it is. It's a focal point and kind of creates a color palette, too.
There
it's
you go.
Royal blue.
And it
so
makes
it's
that
fun.
Personal stamp on your own garden.
Exactly.
So whatever you all choose to do, we hope that you use some of these garden trends to make your garden your own special space. We want to thank Sam Cassiano for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.